Welcome back to Through the Word. I'm your host, Peyton Jones, and today we're going to be studying 2 Kings chapter 22. Today we're going to meet King Hosea, an exceptional king of Judah. Exceptional means he stands out head and shoulders above the rest. He is truly a diamond in the rough in this book. This is the first time we hear the high praise of verse 2. He did what was right in the eyes of the Lord and followed completely the ways of his father David, not turning aside to the right or the left. That shows in this narrative that this was actually possible, but of course by now it's too late. The workmen in the temple find the book of the law, and then they read it in the presence of the king, and the Holy Spirit fires a bullet into King Hosea's heart, and he's cut to the quick. Verse 11 tells us, when the king heard the words of the book of the law, he tore his robes. He gave these orders to Hilkiah the priest, Ahikam son of Shaphan, Achbor son of Micaiah, Shaphan the secretary of Asaiah, and the king's attendant. Go and inquire of the Lord for me, and for all the people, and for all of Judah about what is written in this book that has been found. Great is the Lord's anger that burns against us, because those who have gone before us have not obeyed the words of this book. They've not acted in accordance with all that was written here concerning us. Now he tears his robe, which was not only expensive, but if you know anything about that culture, it was the epitome of grief. It was a way of expressing that your chest had been ripped open and your life's blood was oozing out. It was a sign of telling people you are destroyed by the news you've been told. And of course, that is exactly what the reality was. The nation had been destroyed by this behavior. And as a good king, this was destroying Hosea. It was a very symbolic gesture that you were drained of everything within you, and Judah soon would be drained of everything within it. Verse 14 tells us, Hilkiah the priest, Ahikam, Achbor, Shaphan, and Isaiah went to speak to the prophet Huldah, who is the wife of Shallum, son of Tikvah, the son of Harthus, keeper of the wardrobe. She lived in Jerusalem in the new quarter. You know, it's good to see a prophetess living and breathing in the pages of the Old Testament. Of course, in the New Testament, we have Anna, who holds Christ in her arms. She was told that she would. And God uses women more than some let on. For example, women were the last at the cross and the first at the tomb. In his most important acts, it was women, not men, who were there all along. And outside of John the Baptist, the most prominent evangelist of the Gospels is the woman at the well. And don't forget, not only were one-third of Paul's workers in Romans 16 women, but Philip the evangelist in the New Testament had 5 daughters of whom we're told were all prophets. They had gifts and they knew how to use them. In verse 15, she says to them, "This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. Tell the man who sent you to me, this is what the Lord says. I will bring disaster on this place and its people according to everything written in the book the king of Judah has read. Because they have forsaken me and burned incense to other gods and aroused my anger by all the idols their hands have made, my anger will burn against this place and will not be quenched. Tell the king of Judah who sent you to inquire of the Lord, this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says concerning the words you heard. Because your heart was responsive and you humbled yourself before the Lord when you heard what I have spoken against this place and this people, that day will become a curse, and you will be laid waste. But because you tore my robes and wept in my presence, I've heard you, declares the Lord. Therefore, I will gather you to your ancestors, and you will be buried in peace. Your eyes will not see all the disaster I'm going to bring on this place." So they took their answer back to the king. Now, it's interesting that she was the keeper of the wardrobe. Not only was her husband going to have to repair the robes he tore, but God, in his sovereign providence, also made this connection happen, because she had a message to return to King Hosea with his repaired garment. The gist of the message is that his repentance buys time for Judah, but that's about it. The nation will still continue to go down, but God will do this. He'll spare Hosea from having to see it and having to grieve again. You know, it's often easier to grieve before we get whacked upside the head than afterwards. And Hosea's actually had the right response according to God. And God's blessed by that. I find it very comforting that God says, "I've heard you." It's good to know that wherever we are, whenever we're repentant, God responds In other words, when we respond, God always responds too. And usually when we're at our very worst, God is at his very best. This passage reminds me a bit of the tax collector and the Pharisee. In that parable, the tax collector is so ashamed of himself that he can't even look up to heaven. He looks down at the ground, according to Jesus, and he says, "Have mercy on me, God, a sinner." That's all he can even utter out of his mouth. Now, Jesus contrasted that with a Pharisee who thought he had it going on. But Jesus throws a zinger at us and shocks the crowd by telling them that the Pharisee wasn't heard by God because there was no humility and no repentance. It was a thanking God for how awesome he was. You probably know religious people like that, or you've seen them, and it drives everybody, including Christians that are following Jesus, completely nuts. I know it drives me nuts. And when I'm that guy, I usually don't see it. But here Jesus said, that guy, that tax collector, he was the one who was heard. But I bet if you asked him if he thought he was being heard, he would have said, "No way, I'm too wicked to be heard." But God responds to brokenness, this same brokenness that we find in Hosea, and God hears him. And that's good news to the likes of me and you, who happen to screw it up quite a bit. Let's analyze verse 19 and see what God responded to. God says in verse 19, "Because your heart was responsive, and because you humbled yourself before the Lord when you heard what I've spoken against this place and its people, that they would become a curse and be laid waste, and because you tore your robes and wept in my presence, I also have heard you, declares the Lord." Number one, he says their heart was responsive. Number two, he humbled himself. Number three, he heard what God spoke. Number four, he tore his robes. And number five, God tells him, "You wept in my presence." Now let's look for a second, ask ourselves some questions today. Is my heart responsive? Do I listen to the word of God? Does it shape me? Does it and can it still disturb me? He humbled himself. Number two, am I humble? Or do I think I'm awesome? Humility is often seen by what we do, and we can see the actions that Hosea takes. You'll know you're humble if you respond with your actions. Number three, you heard what I spoke. Do I still listen to God's word when he speaks and value it above what anyone else says? At my church? In my own reading when others share it with me? Do I truly take it on board when it's shared? And number four, he tore his robes. Do I act on what I hear? Does it serve to form a crisis point for me where I just can't go on as business as usual when confronted by God's word? And number five, you wept in my presence. Do my emotions still get touched by God? Does my heart get grieved with the things that God's heart does? Do I have a sorrow that leads to repentance? Well, these things are quite a handbasket of questions to ask yourselves. But I would ask you to ask these today. And as you do, ask God to break your heart with what breaks his. He hears a prayer like that every time. Well, read 2 Kings chapter 22 today, and I'll see you tomorrow on Through the Word.
Join us next time as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the Word.